Good morning. Glad everybody's here this morning. Good to see you. Busy world we live in. All things, kinds of things going on. News is filled with human trafficking, and including children. You can't see news without Puff Diddy and his actions coming out. And we see adults going back at it, back and forth, verbally, fighting, physically, and over really silly things that just don't matter. Now we see riots coming out once again. We see, you know, just the world we live in, pallets of bricks being purchased and delivered to sites across the United States, groups with websites to show you how to organize your protest, what to do. You know, it's not hidden anymore. You can find it, and pretty easy. You know, some of this by politicians in power. We're told of peaceful protests by political officials who claimed that they were on site and involved and it was all peaceful and going well, while on the other side of the television screen next to them we see police cars on fire and rocks being thrown at police cars and through the windshields and at the actual police. And they just live in we see wars with Israel and Iran, and we see people just more entitled maybe now than ever before, that they deserve everything they can get at whatever cost. It's the world we live in. You know, also Flag Day was yesterday. You know, you do see a lot of flags at these peaceful protests going on, but none of them are American, or most of them aren't. And the ones I have seen, the flags are upside down. So, you know, we see No Kings protests on Flags Day. That's a protest against Trump and political parties, and says saving democracy. And I do like to remind people we are a republic. We are not a democracy. We're a republic. You know, it was really Flag Day, and then there was a military parade to celebrate 250th anniversary of the U.S. Army. Now, most of that was lost because it's being called a Donald Trump birthday celebration, as his birthday was also June 14th. And so this No Kings, part of it, a lot of it's managed by a group called Indivisible. And you read some of their brochure, and you see maybe what they're really all about. Just to read a little bit, it says, about us, action by action, day by day, group by group, Indivisibles are remaking our democracy. I've watched The Incredibles on TV, but I've never seen The Indivisibles before. But anyway, it says, what do? They make calls, they show up, they speak with their neighbors, they organize. And through that work, they've built hundreds of mini movements in support of their local values. And now, after practice, training, and repetition, they've built lasting powers on their home turf and a massive collective political muscle ready to be exercised each and every day in every corner of the country. I point to that practice, training, and repetition. You know, why we're here, Indivisible was founded in response to Trump's election, because we know that Trump is a symptom of a sick democracy, not its cause. We face two fundamental problems. First of all, our democracy was rigged from the start in favor of the white and wealthy. Second, in the last few decades, an alliance of white and nationalists and ultra-rich have been actively working to further undermine democracy and cement their hold on power permanently. That's how we ended up with Trump. Again, I'm just reading off of their website. Again, who we are. These new Indivisible activists form a nationwide movement of people taking matters into their own hands to build their own power through collective action. That says a lot. And then, together we fight to defeat the right-wing takeover, American government, and build an inclusive democracy. So that's some of the things about Indivisible, what they stand for. And I think you can, just by that brief, kind of see what that's about. You know, I wonder. Sometimes I wonder, seeing all the things going on in the world today and all the troubles and things, I wonder what the world would be today if we had family units as God intended. You know, today, well, tomorrow's Father's Day. You know, what if the world had fathers as God intended? You know, what if children had constructive discipline? What if they had encouragement? What if they were paid attention to? What if they had examples and love shown to them as God chose to us? You know, fathers are representatives of God for his family with the responsibility to care for and protect them while bringing them up in a God-fearing but a God-knowing environment. And the trouble is we have far too few fathers fulfilling their role, and we see the consequences. Isaiah 9:6, you know, we usually hear this at Christmas time, but I wanted to read it today. I think there's a piece we kind of skip over or fail to remember most of the time. Isaiah 9:6 says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." You know, we read at Christmas and remember Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, but sometimes Everlasting Father isn't the main one we remember. You know, we know Jesus was fully man, but he was also fully God, which makes him our Father. He's the one who makes it possible for us to be children of God. The main section I want to read is Galatians 4:1-7 this morning. Says, "What I am saying is that as long as an heir is under age, he is no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. The heir is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by the father. So also when we were under age, we were in slavery under the elemental spiritual forces of the world. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, 'Abba, Father.' You are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir." Paul's been talking about being a child of God in the earlier section here, and how they were under the law but have now been adopted into a family of God, you know, where God is our father. You know, hopefully you have two fathers in your life. I pray you do. You have been born in life with a human father, of course, but I pray you've also put your trust in Christ and have a heavenly father. You know, again, fathers have a unique authority and influence, you know. Moms and dads are different. They just are different. They have different roles. They have different ways that God wants them to treat the family and to work in the family and be part of the family and to show him. They have different attributes. You know, they're protectors, providers, guardians, but they're also to be caring and spiritual leaders of their family. You know, fathers need to show godly character in their actions and a faithfulness in their examples. You know, he needs to be one who holds himself accountable before he holds his family accountable. But Satan's been busy. It's hard. Some say fathers aren't needed. Women say, "I don't need a man." Well, children do. You know, if it's the God-fearing man they're meant to be. You know, God's word's pretty clear on it. But fathers today are stripped of authority. You know, sometimes his words don't have any power. He's not respected. And again, much of it's his own fault, his own failure, because we haven't been the fathers we're supposed to be. You know, Satan also draws his attention to things other than what's important. You know, work's important. You got to provide. But is it the most important thing? You know, fathers have to sacrifice things they want to do, maybe even enjoy doing, but they have to sacrifice things that give them up for the family. And when they don't, that leaves the family without what it truly needs. Now, we know kids test fathers. I'm sure none of you tested your dad or your mom for that matter. But I see some heads saying no but smiling at the same time, so I know you did. You know, if my dad, it was when he got to the point where he was biting his lower lip, you know, when he bit the lower lip, you had reached the point where something was going to happen. Maybe good, maybe bad, but something was, business was going to pick up at that point. So, and I know you've tested your dad as well, but it's up to the fathers to give the foundation the family needs. And I include mom with that too, because it's one unit. God made a family unit together, and unity is what's needed, but the father's responsible. You know, if we read further, it says adoption as sons. You know, how special is that? We were chosen to be God's son, chosen to be sons of God. He picked us. He loves us. You know, in Greek culture, they had the full rights and legal standing as any of the biological children. They weren't any different, and yet they were different in that they were chosen to be loved and to be part of the family. The biological children were born into it, but they were chosen. And Abba Father, what a name. You know, it's an intimate name that's like daddy. You know, anyone can be a father. That's biological. But not everyone is a dad. And I hope you had a dad. You know, dads aren't perfect in life, but dads have been given a special God-given role to fill for us. You know, father is a person, dad is a relationship, and I hope you had a dad. You know, I want to read a story that it's a little bit long. You might need to keep up, but it tells of a little girl who, you know, went through a, well, her mom went through a divorce before she was born, and we find that man she was married to come back into her life later. And so I want to read this, and then I want to talk about, you know, how God is in that role, how a father, and this is a stepfather. So it says, I think my stepdad is father of the year. As a teacher had kids write a story of who would be father of the year. She says, I think my stepdad is father of the year because of our unique story. And she says, let me explain. Long before I was born, my mother married Pete, and they had two kids, which is my half-brother and sister, Peter and Melissa. Later, my mom and Pete married other people. So obviously, there was a divorce there, and they married other people. My mom's second husband, Ron, is by, she calls it, genetic dad. And together, they had me. And while I was growing up, Pete and Vicky, his new wife, would pick me up to go with him when they would visit my siblings in various places. So the previous husband would pick up this daughter of the new husband and take her to see his kids with her mom. Says, then in the middle of the night, January 23rd, 2001, just after my 9th birthday, my mom and dad were arrested. She says, because of their bad choices, and she mentioned meth drug use. She says, I was separated from them and told them that I would have to move in with a new family. And she says, everything changed in my life. The next morning, word of my problem spread fast. I was with a social worker looking at possibilities for my new family when she told me, your family called, and they were going to take you in. I didn't know then what family she was talking about, but when I got to their house, I saw and rushed to Pete's side. Luckily, God was watching over me, and that family happened to be Pete and Vicky. I was relieved to know that my sibling's dad, my new stepdad, was going to take me in. My stepdad Pete has done so much for me. Since I was little at the time, I didn't think to thank him so much for taking me into his home. However, I realized I have the opportunity to see my brother and sister more than ever and have met many wonderful people. I have great friends and educational opportunities, and I'm truly thankful now for everything. Pete's a great dad. From day one, he watched out for me. He made sure I got into the right school and had all the materials I needed. Each morning, he gets up early to be with me so I won't have to be by myself. He's a super good cook, and even though I'm quite capable of making my own breakfast, he still cooks for me. And the meals that he makes aren't just cereal, but pancakes, waffles, and omelets with unimaginable amounts of cheese. It says, since both Peter and Vicky work out of their home, they have a chance to go to all my games, and do. Recently, my brother, Peter, moved back to into town to open up a store, and my dad will often take his place at the store and allow my brother to come watch me swim. She was a swimmer and played water polo in high school. This is a big sacrifice for my stepdad, and I appreciate that he's willing to make such sacrifices. Another one of my stepdad's great qualities is patience. While he doesn't always have a lot, we can relate, I can tell he tries with me. For example, my middle school used to have an annual ski day at Dodge Ridge. A couple of years ago was my first time really skiing without a lesson. And my stepdad went with me because he knows all about skiing. It was snowing, and I was having a hard time skiing. I could tell he was getting impatient with me, but he stayed calm and encouraged me until we reached the bottom of the mountain together. Pete is a positive in my life. Every time I accomplish something big or small, he always congratulates me. For example, my grades in school were average, but he still is proud of me. As mentioned, I play water polo and swim for my high school. Sometimes out of the blue, Pete will tell me, I know swimming and water polo is hard, but I'm just proud of you. I really am. It makes me feel good to know that he can tell I'm doing my best. I pick my stepdad as Father of the Year because he's there for me whenever I need him. Pete saved my life and made it so much better with twice the opportunities. He's a huge inspiration. Pete's an important part of my life, and I'm important in his. With my stepfather's help, my life is and will be more accomplished and well-lived. And it comments that they're both attending a church function, their local church, and committed to God's Word as a family. We're going to have an invitation in just a few minutes, but I want to review the story a little bit, and let's look at Pete. You know, he's a father. He's what a father should be. Any examples of our Heavenly Father, and we see so many examples of life and a Heavenly Father in this Father of the Year story. You know, worldly times are tough. Things happen. You know, life changes quick. Somebody gets sick. There's a death. You know, a job change. Things can happen, and very quickly. But we always have an opportunity to have a new life. It's different, but it can be better. You know, we get called to be taken in this new life. You know, we may not understand everything at first. You know, she didn't understand this new life. But as we grow and learn, how thankful we become to know Jesus is in our life. You know, when we're first saved, when we first accept what Christ did for us, we don't understand everything. We're new, we're babes. But as we grow, we learn what he truly did for us. We can have a new life in him. You know, opportunities come to us to meet wonderful people also, but that's in the church family generally. You know, we're watched over, we're protected, we're provided education, we have the Bible, we have God's Word. We have good godly teachers that teach us God's Word. But the Bible and the Holy Spirit teach us as well. You know, she said, Dad gets up early so I'm not by myself and fixes breakfast, but not any breakfast. Our Heavenly Father is available all the time. He doesn't want us to feel like we are alone, because we aren't. He's there. He's always there anytime we need him. You know, he provides not only what we need, but more than we can imagine out of his love. You know, his is not just toast either. His is all this stuff. And the unimaginable amount of cheese on it. You know, he gives us all he can. He works from home too. So does our Father. You could say he works from heaven, our heavenly home. Because this is not our home if you're a believer in Jesus. This is not our home. The world is not our home. The Father goes where I go and is with me, giving of himself. God certainly does that. She talked about sacrifices. do I appreciate the sacrifices he does for me, the sacrifice he gave for me? You know, he gave us the complete sacrifice, the utmost sacrifice. He gave us his son. He gave us himself. And he gave it for you and I. You know, Father has patience. Never leaves me, but encourages and congratulates. Our Father does as well. He gives blessings and desires us to run the race of life. And not only to run it, but complete it. And to do the best we can. And at some point in time, we finish together. We finish the race together. He's there whenever I need him. He saved my life and made it so much better. He's an inspiration. He's my example. He is important to me and I am important to him. You know, the Holy Spirit is in me and I am in Christ. We are in each other. We are part of each other. And Christ did save our life for eternity. With him in my life will be much more accomplished and well-lived. I can have an abundant life with what the Father wants to give me so I can be of service to him. The Lord wants to give us life, but life in abundance. He wants to have so much more than we even desire for ourselves. I want to finish with 1 John 3:1-3. 1 John 3:1-3 says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and that we will be, what we will be has not been made known yet. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure." You know, sometimes a lot of parents have a goal for their children to just have a better life than they have, and it goes generation to generation. And as time goes by, we see if that happens or not. You know, sometimes giving people everything they want doesn't turn out well. But you want them to have a better life than what they had. Now, we don't know what we'll be yet as children of God. We haven't realized it, but we will be like him. You know, it hasn't been realized yet, but we will be like him. Our Abba Father will provide that better life and give us a glorified body for eternity. Now, what more could we ask for him to give us himself? We could give us glory, some of his glory for our glorified body. That's what our Abba Father, that's what our Daddy provides. You know, we need men who won't settle for being a father, but strive to be a dad. You know, it's a calling that God has placed on you to change the lives of your family, and maybe others, as you could be a father figure, but I'd rather be a dad figure to others that need one. You know, I know each and every one of you had a father, but I don't know if you had a dad. But you can today. Just call out, and he'll be there. He's waiting. And everybody needs a dad. Let's pray.